Today on The Grave Talks, time slips. Joe and Faye of the Ghost Trail have been on the path with the paranormal their whole lives. Starting at a very young age, brushes with past lives, spirits, and other worldly entities have made impressions on their lives and belief systems. As adults, they seek to better understand and tell the stories of those affected by the paranormal, in hopes that others may find solace in knowing they are not alone. Today, we hear their stories and discuss the phenomena of time slips on The Grave Talks.
My first experience, I suppose, was when I was really young. I was probably about 3. And I remember being at my grandparents' house. It is actually my first ever memory. And I remember going to my grandparents' house, and they had this big dresser with all china and bits and bobs on it. And I used to say to them, oh, can I polish the brass today? And for me, like, it's just a normal thing to say, but looking back now as an adult, I realise that's quite an odd thing for a 3-year-old to say. And I, at the same time, remember, like, you know, my granddad saying, oh, let's go to the shop and get some milk. And I'll be like, yeah, let's go in the horse and cart. Not the car, the horse and cart. So again, quite a weird thing for a 3-year-old to be saying. And then fast forward a few years and I'm at Brownies. And I remember playing this game where we had to, like, line up in order of our age without speaking. And then when it came to saying our date of birth, I remember saying 1891. And then the brownie leader saying, well, I don't think that's right. And I'm like, yeah, no, I was born in 1891. And I remember going home and crying because the brownie leader told me that I didn't know my date of birth. So, you know, I had a couple of weird things in childhood, which at the time I didn't really think of. But now as an adult, I'm like, that's definitely quite weird. And there's obviously something in that. So, yeah, I guess that's where it all began for me from the age of 3.
Joe, when you look back on that, were these stories that your parents had told you that you did? Or do you actually have recollection yourself of these events occurring and you recounting these things?
I actually have I remember it myself. And this dresser that I was so obsessed with that I always wanted to polish the brass, I actually have that dresser now. And I don't know, it's like I say, my first memory, and I was definitely only about 3 because my granddad died when I was just 4. So yeah, they're my actual memories, not things. In fact, they're things that I've reminded my mum has happened because she hasn't really remembered it. And I'm like, remember when I used to ask to polish the brass? And she's like, no, not really. So they're my actual memories.
Wow. That's funny. I guess sometimes parents, when they look back on the memories of their children, sometimes they kind of block out some of those things that make them uncomfortable. I understand. I have that moment sometimes too with my parents where it's like, remember this? No, you never did that. It's like, no, I sure as hell did. Let me ask you, this is probably a tough question to answer, but do your best digging on it. When you were having those experiences at 3. This is going to require you trying to dig into your mind of, okay, you're wanting to polish the brass. You're stating that date of birth. What is going through your mind at that moment in time? Because clearly you knew that you were not born in 1891. You didn't really have a connection to wanting or a reason to polish the brass, or at least you logically wouldn't have one, I guess, in terms of how we normally think. So what was going through your 3-year-old mind when you had this urge to polish the brass? Or you're answering the question with such a date far out of range for what your birthday could possibly be?
I think at the time, being a child, for me, it was like the most normal thing to want to do. Like, I wasn't questioning why I wanted to polish the brass, or, you know, I was like, I'm born in 1891. Why is no one understanding this? Like, for me, it was just normal. And it wasn't something that felt odd to me. Like I say, as an adult, looking back, it's quite weird. And I actually had a past life regression session last year just to kind of see if any light came upon these experiences, which was a very interesting thing to go through. And I feel like I did get some answers, but at the time, no, it just felt completely natural. It wasn't as a 3-year-old me going, oh, that's weird. Why do I want to polish a bra? So I just knew I wanted to polish that bra.
Just very, very factual. Just as if you're picking up, you know, this is just part of, you know, if you were an adult and you wanted to polish the brass, it was just, yep, I want to go do that. Not any other reasoning. I understand.
Yeah, a child would, you know, want to play with their friends or go and play with their skipping rope. Or, you know, they're not going, oh, why do I want to play with my skipping rope? They just want to go and play. And that's what I was. I was just like, I just need to polish that brass.
Wow. Before I ask Faye the same question, I want to just do one more follow-up with you on, you had said you did a past life regression in the past year, and it maybe connected some dots for you. What did you discover there?
Yeah, well, it was a really interesting experience. I'd never been hypnotized before, so it was all brand new to me. I was a little bit nervous, but I was also really excited because it's, you know, I think it's quite an exciting thing to do. And actually, I went through a number of past lives, not just one, but there was one in particular that I feel related to these experiences that I had as a child. And apparently, I was a school, like a private, like school teacher in a house on the coast named Rachel in like the late Victorian era. And it came out that I used to help my friend who was also working in this house as a maid. I used to help her with her chores if I wasn't busy. So that, you know, that kind of explains the, you know, polishing the brass situation, I suppose. But yeah, it was a nice experience to go through, and it kind of gave me some kind of, not closure on it, but just like a bit of an explanation as to why I was saying these strange things and wanting to do these strange things as a child.
Do you, as an adult, ever have any sort of urges or desires to do certain things out of, you know, kind of nowhere? Just as you did when you were a child, like to go polish the brass, do you ever have anything where it's like, I want to do that? I don't know why I want to do this, but I want to do this.
Not so much, but no. I do feel and have always felt a bit misplaced in this era. Like I don't belong. Like, I'm terrible with technology, as you know, because I couldn't get the Skype to work. I always want to be dressing in things that are from like a previous era. Like I love anything vintage. I've got a classic car. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I live in an old Victorian house. So I'm very much like a person who kind of, I don't know, I suppose romanticizes the past because I feel more associated with the past than I do with modern day, if that makes sense.
Sure. Faye, the same initial question to you. What was it for you, wherever it may be in life, that sparked your interest in the paranormal?
So for me, it's harder to pick one moment. I think it was generally growing up, it was my mum's influence, because my mum is very psychic and kick, and she always used to see things or sense things. She had premonitions, all this kind of stuff. So she'd just tell me about it in a really matter-of-fact way. I started a ghost club at school when I was about 6 or 7, and I used to just love watching the TV show Strange But True, and reading like Reader's Digest books on strange phenomena and all that kind of stuff. So I almost feel like I was just interest, but I think it was my mum's influence and what I was surrounded by growing up.
And that's what really kind of kept you into it. As an adult, what was it for you guys that made you, you know, take the step of, I'm going to dig back into this interest, dig back into this passion, and begin investigating or doing some research into the topics?
So for me, I joined a paranormal investigation group when I lived in Ireland, and that was really good fun. But when I left Ireland, I sort of just let it go. And it was still an interest, but I wasn't actually doing anything with it. And I met Joe through acting, and we were catching up one day over coffee, and we just happened to come up with the fact that we're both really interested in the paranormal. And then we bonded over liking all the same TV shows and how there isn't a lot out there at the moment. And then we just kind of came up with, in that one afternoon, all these ideas for the ghost trail.
One of the things that we want to talk about today, and I'm very interested to hear what you guys have found on this topic, because we get stories on it. And I want to say there's almost been an increase on this topic, this area of stories when it comes to the paranormal, and that is time slips. Time slips can, I feel, almost be broken up into multiple categories as well. It's like right when you kind of have an idea of what it's all about, you hear another story and go, that kind of sounds like a time slip. It's a whole different dynamic than the others, but could certainly fall into the category. Time slips for you, how would you define a time slip?
Okay, so we've actually got a time slip episode coming up, so I've been digging around into it quite a lot. And I came across a really interesting paper approaching it from a quantum physics and mechanics point of view. And it was quite dense reading and thing, and there's an awful lot of equations and things. But if people want to read it, then we could email you the link to it. And they have broken down time slip into characteristics, and also used to prove how they are theoretically possible. And it's really, really interesting that you said there's been an increase in them, because they've linked them on an energetic level to the universe expanding and more fluctuations in space. So it would almost make sense that they're increasing. But for me, I think that I would define them as somebody suddenly finding themselves in a time that isn't their own. And that for me is the most basic definition.
Yeah. What I find really interesting about time slips as well is that sometimes people don't realize that they've slipped into another era until after the events happened. And a lot of the case studies that we've looked at and people's experiences, it's not until some time after that they've actually realized that, oh, that actually probably wasn't right. I think I was in a time that wasn't my own. And so those stories I always find fascinating, when people don't realize that they're experiencing it until after they've experienced it.
Can time slips...
Yeah, no, absolutely, because there's...
Can time slips occur to just very specific areas? For example, a house, a single house, suddenly changing to a different era, and a person from current time suddenly seeing this and experiencing it? Or when there's a time slip, is it literally everything around them? Their entire universe is going through the slip? Or can it be, you know, bits and pieces, objects, specific locations, and that's changed, but everything outside of that bubble is still the correct timeline?
Yeah, I think it's a very specific, localized thing. I think just from thinking about it from the point of view of the whole world time slipping, I feel like that we'd be more aware of it if that was happening. And the fact that only usually one or two people report the time slip, and they do seem to be quite rare cases. I think it's very much a localized thing. And there was a story that we were discussing earlier where two people encountered a time slip, but one of them went into it and one of them stayed outside of it, but saw the person disappear.
Yeah, I'll tell that story actually, if you like.
Yes.
And it kind of relates to your question, in that there's a road in Liverpool in the UK called Bold Street, where time slips are quite common. A lot of people have experienced them, not everyone at the same time, obviously, but it seems to be an area where it seems to happen quite a lot. And there's one story that I love, because two people were part of it, and it was a young guy named Sean who was shoplifting back in 2006, and he ran away from the security guard, and as he was running away, he turned down a side road, and as he turned down this side road, he turned to look back and saw that the security guard had gone.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks that he's lost the security guard. He walks out, he wanders up to Bold Street, and he quickly recognizes that it's not the Bold Street that he knows. He goes over and he sees a newspaper on a newspaper stand, and it's dated 1967. Obviously, he's living in 2006 at this point. So he starts to panic. He gets his phone out, no signal. And, you know, and he's in this time slip for some time. And he walks up to the other end of the road, and he's outside the H. Samuel, which is a jewelry store over here, gets his phone out again. And at this point, he can get signal, and he's like, oh, thank God, I'm back in my time zone. But as he turns back, he sees that the street that he's just walked up from is still in 1967. So at that point, he freaks out, and he jumps on a bus, and that's it, he goes home. Now, the security guard has also come forward, and he said that he was chasing this guy, and as he turned down the alley, he went to go up, said he saw this slitter literally vanish into thin air. So he didn't end up in the time slip, but he saw this guy vanish, and then this guy ended up in the time slip. So I really, really love that story, because two people experienced it or were witness.
Quite a phenomenon. We've had many stories on the show where it's people are driving somewhere. One of the ones that stands out to me, a couple needs some help. They're on the side of the road, kind of in a rural area, and they get close to a house that they see has a party going on at it. They go and reach out. They ask if they can use their phone. They use the phone, leave. There's really nothing more that happens. They think nothing of it. These nice people let them use their phone. They go on their way back home a couple of days later. They wanted to just stop by that house and say, thank you again. You really saved our day. The house is abandoned. It's empty. And it was clearly not just like a bunch of teenagers went in there and had a house party at an abandoned home. It is dilapidated. It is nowhere near the shape of what it was just days earlier, and they can't figure out what happened here. Of course, there's stories of buildings appearing, structures that were maybe once there that are now completely gone, and maybe just a foundation or nothing at all left. When things like that happen, it's very bizarre, because you quite oftentimes associate the idea of ghosts with a consciousness and a purpose or some sort of rhyme or reason to it. When it comes to time slips, is there really a rhyme or reason? Is there any purpose to these things happening, or is it just something where we happen to find ourselves at some sort of intersection of time at the right place and the right time to accidentally fall into them?
Yeah, I think it is quite random. That's just my personal belief, because it just seems to happen to people completely out of the blue. And with a lot of the stories, it doesn't really serve a purpose. They just sort of interact briefly and then end up back in their own time, a little bit confused. Mm-hmm. The sort of research that I've done on it suggests that from a physics perspective, it's caused by random fluctuations of energy in deep outer space and all kinds of things interacting together to create this pretty rare but totally possible phenomena, which I love. But yeah, I think it probably is the right place at the right time. And maybe some areas, there's something about the energy in those areas, they're more prone to it, like the one in Liverpool. Or there's one in Kent, which is quite near to us, that we're going to go check out and see if we can get inside a time slip. I don't know if it works like that. We're just going to walk up and down the road all day and see if it happens. But it would be interesting if it does.
Yeah, that was a really interesting story, actually. It's a coffee shop.
Yeah,
so there was like a couple shopping, middle-aged couple, and the husband goes off because he needs to buy a few bits, and the wife goes to get a coffee, and she goes into this coffee shop, and she said that nothing really struck her as being unusual. She ordered her coffee. She said there were a couple of women in the cafe, both wearing long dresses, which I suppose is quite odd these days, but she didn't think anything kind of, oh God, well, you know, what's going on here? And she said in a side room, there was a group of men all wearing black suits, but again, maybe a bit odd, but it didn't strike her that she'd like ended up in some weird time zone. So she has her coffee and she leaves and meets up with her husband. And then next time they're this way and they're in town again, she says to her husband, oh, I want to take you to this little coffee shop I found. The coffee was great. And they go there and there's a massive supermarket in its place. I think it was a Sainsbury's. And she's so confused and she's walking up and down the street and she goes into the Sainsbury's and asks, you know, how long have you been here? Was there a cafe here not so long ago? And they were like, well, no, we've been here years. And it played on her mind so much, she ended up going to the local library doing some research, and she actually found a picture of the cafe that she had the coffee in, which was where the now Sainsbury's is standing. So she had a coffee in a cafe that was no longer there, but didn't realize until she came back to go for another coffee in this coffee shop.
When someone goes into a time slip like that, obviously she stepped back out of it and was back into current time. Is there ever cases, and I suppose this is really a matter of opinion more than anything, where someone stays in the time slip, well, indefinitely, or for a longer period of time than just, you know, it seems like a lot of times for the length of a cup of coffee?
I definitely think so. We were talking earlier about the possibility that a lot of the really strange and completely unexplained missing persons cases could actually be potentially time slips. And like a case that you were saying as well, that was an amazing one.
Yeah, I heard a story recently. I forget where I heard it now, but it was a husband and wife living on a farm with their child. And the husband said, I'm just going to pop out to the land. He had to do some work out there. And as he's walking across the field, his wife and child are watching him leave. At the same time, his neighbor is walking home and she also sees him. And all three of them watching him see him literally vanish into thin air as he's walking across the field. So the wife runs over and she can actually hear him shouting help, but he's not there. And this went on for quite a lot of days and weeks, and they ended up camping out there because she could hear him shouting help. But as the days went on, his voice became fainter and fainter and fainter, and then in the end, they couldn't hear him at all, and he was never found. But all three of them saw him walk across the field and vanish, and yeah, he never returned. So that would explain a lot of missing persons cases, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's really quite scary because I guess we're only ever going to hear from the people who come back. So we don't know how many people don't. There's no way, well, apart from that case where there was witnesses, but I guess most of the time there isn't going to be if you just randomly walk into them somewhere. So that's scary.
It is, and it makes you, you know, it seems that a lot of folks who do kind of just step right out of them, you know, inadvertently step out of them just as inadvertently as they stepped into them. It's almost as just things kind of catch themselves back up. Has there ever been any cases that you're aware of time slips where, you know, it's almost movie-esque, where they're in the time for quite some time. They're developing relationships. They're there. They don't really know how to get out of that time slip. Almost, I guess, sort of Back to the Future-esque. And eventually they do either pop out of it or they figure out what needs to be done to step away from this in more of a longer-term story than just the step in, step out.
I don't know of anything extremely long-term, but I did hear a story in another podcast recently where the lady actually said, if we'd have stayed there the night, would we have ever made it back? And it was a story of a couple that got married in France, and it was pre-mobile phones technology time. So they got married in the city, and then the husband had booked this lovely hotel in a tiny little rural French village. So they leave their reception. They drive to this village, and as they drive to this village, they notice that there's no street lights at all. So they thought it odd, but then they thought, well, we're in rural France, you know, maybe this is just how it is. They park their car, they eventually find the hotel, and they walk into this hotel, and it's in darkness apart from the receptionist, the guy who's in period clothing, and he's got a lit candle on his desk. So again, they're like, okay, probably there's just a power cut. They walk up to the desk, they say they have a reservation, and he gets a big ledger out and makes them sign with a quill and ink. And the wife is saying, oh, how wonderful it is, like they're really, you know, making it a, you know, period drama experience. And then this guy behind the desk rings a bell, and a lady in a maid's outfit, she's got like a bonnet on her head and everything, also carrying a candle, comes to take them to their bedroom. So they go up this like staircase, she opens the door and there's cobwebs everywhere. It's like this door hasn't been opened in years. And they go in and they said that the bed was completely covered in dust. And at this point, that the husband's like, this is ridiculous. I've, you know, paid for a 5-star hotel. We can't stay here. It's dirty. It's cold. We're leaving. So they left and they slept in their car. So the next morning, they're like, God, we're tired. We need to find somewhere to stay. And they actually come across this gorgeous hotel. So they go in and they say, you know, is there any chance that we could stay here the night? We booked this hotel, but we turned up and it was awful. And then when the person in this hotel said, oh, what was it called? And they gave the name, which I forget. They were like, well, it can't be because that's the name of this hotel. And then when they looked, this was the hotel that they had their reservation in. So they then said, okay, so where's the period drama hotel? And the person behind reception was like, well, that hotel doesn't exist. And they spent their whole honeymoon searching for this place, asking everyone in the village if there'd been a power cut all night. And there hadn't been. And the guy that was telling this story, he said that his wife, like, ever since, has, like, been playing on her mind, you know, what if we'd have stayed at that hotel? Would we have been stuck there? Where would we have woken up? Would we have been able to get back to our time if we'd have stayed in that hotel? And I think that's a pretty good fear to have, because I think the same thing would be going through my mind if I'd stayed in a hotel that was obviously not from my era.
Yeah, I'm really curious about whether or not there are rules in terms of how you would get back. You know, like if there's any framework you have to operate within, because I've come across so many cases where people have, you know, eaten or drunk things, or they've interacted with local people. There's a few cases where people have stayed over the night and they've still made it back. So I'm just wondering if there's like a line where if you go over that line, you're doomed and you're not going to get back. Or do you need to get back within the time frame of the sort of whatever energetic system is causing the time slip? And if you miss that point, are you stuck there forever? Like, I want to know what the rules are. There's no guidebook on this.
No.
And that's really, you know, truly a lot of the questions that I want to talk about. And obviously, none of us have the answers, but just based on the stories that you've heard, we're just kind of, you know, spitting out what we think the rules may be based on some of these things. When it comes to time slips and the concept of ghosts, how often do you think it is that when we're encountering a ghost or someone is reporting, I saw someone walking down the hall of an old building, and then they disappear into thin air. How often could that possibly be a time slip that is occurring where it's not necessarily the individual is dead and still roaming the halls, but more so it's they're wandering the halls in their own time period, and for some reason we're just then getting a short glimpse of them, and then they vanish away.
I think that's really possible, actually, because I always feel like with hauntings you can divide them into sort of sentient and non-sentient, and the ones that don't interact do quite often feel, you know, kind of like the magnetic tape theory, like it's just a repeat of something that happened a lot in the past. Mm-hmm. And I consider the idea of time slips as just being very large immersive hauntings in a way, but there's kind of some back and forth between them, definitely. And it could be the same phenomena, just presenting on a larger scale.
It's a very, you know, interesting thing to think about, but we have the residual haunting, you have the conscious haunting. When it comes to that sort of a phenomena, there's very much it's there for a very short period of time. And it's not really what you think of when we're talking about someone having the experience of going into the coffee shop. They're truly interacting as a patron. Nobody at that coffee shop is in their time period seeing that individual as a ghost. At least they're not reacting that way. They're seeing that just as another person that came into the shop and I'm going to, you know, get you the coffee that you ordered. So it seems different than the short spurts that we have with spirits or ghosts and that sort of an interaction. Have there been any cases that you're aware of people in our current time interacting with a time traveler where we're on the other end of this spectrum and someone is showing up from either a previous point in history or a point in the future, and now they're here for that short period of time and there's some interaction that goes on.
I did read about a case of someone a couple of years ago, and I can't remember his name, but there's a guy on the internet who's claiming to be from the future. And he was sort of making all these predictions and saying all this stuff had happened and that he'd been sent back to the 1970s by the government to recover part of a computer system that was no longer in production, but that was needed in the future. And apparently this does check out from a technology point of view. And he'd made a stop off, I think in 2012 or whenever it was, and put all this stuff on the internet. And it became this huge thing that went a bit viral. People were trying to catch him out and see if he could be tested, but he said that there are multiple timelines and they all diverge by 2.5%, which accounted for any slight differences in what he might say from what actually happened. So there wasn't sort of a concrete thing, unfortunately. That was a bit of a get out jail free card. So some people obviously thought he was genuine and asked him loads of questions, and other people were saying no, this is obviously a hoax. But that's the only one I can think of. And obviously no one ever saw him. It was just someone behind a keyboard. So it could have been anybody.
Sure.
I've not heard any cases of someone sort of... there was one actually that was in the news years ago, wasn't there? Somebody claimed to be from the future. But I don't... Again, there's sort of nothing particularly concrete.
Yeah, I think most of the stories you hear are from people who are ending up usually in the past. Occasionally there's ones where people end up in the future. But usually it's like people from now ending up in the past. And what I always say, and I have been talking about actually, is how, like you say, it's quite odd that the people from the past aren't questioning who these people with modern day clothes are, or why they're paying in the wrong currency, or, you know, why that's not ever questioned. So I always do find that quite interesting as well. But yeah, no, I don't really know any stories about people coming into our era from another.
Would we know, though? That's the only thing. If someone from the future, if the fashion hasn't changed that much, or maybe you just think they had a quirky dress sense, if you just saw them on the street and it was one of those cases where they've walked back in time, say, for example, in Liverpool, and it's a different era, and they just walk down the road and walk out of it, would anybody notice that?
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Joe and Faye of The Ghost Trail. In part two of our conversation, we will ask more about time slips, and are there any cases of people in our current time seeing a time traveler from another period? Are there any cases where someone time slips into the future? Can a person alter history with their actions if they find themselves in a time slip? And do they think that time travel is something that will be controlled one day? All that and more in part two of our conversation with Joe and Faye. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. Visit patreon.com/thegravetalks. Get access to part two of all of our episodes, as well as advanced episodes of the program months before the release to the public. That's what keeps our program on the air and afloat. You can do that by going to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.